Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first official Australian Survivor podcast by myself, the Survivor Know-It-Oz, Nick Iadanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are here to talk about all things Australian Survivor, and we wanted to do a bit of a cast preview because I love listening to cast previews. It really gets you amped up for the season, and we have started the march towards Australian Survivor Season 2. So I have someone on the line, and you would have heard from him a couple of weeks ago. This is the Australian in Survivor New Zealand Survivor Professor. This guy is like the font of all knowledge when it comes to these kind of things, and that is Ryan Brink. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for joining me again.
Nick, great to be back on RHAP. Last time was great, and it just feels like it was just yesterday that we just chatted. So
it feels like it was just 5 minutes ago.
So absolutely brilliant. I don't know, fountain of knowledge. God,
you are just own it.
Yeah. Well, so I know you. Some things about Australian Survivor. I love the Australian Survivor 2016, probably more than I should for what it was, but I'm so excited about this new season, Nick. 24 new players, and I'm just genuinely excited that we've got 24 former players now who are going to be chatting about the season as it airs as well. It's such a great time to be an Australian Survivor fan.
Yeah, I think so too. When season one, which we call season one, forget about all the others, season one was airing, it was weird not having former players weigh in, like when you watch the American Survivor and you hear, you know, like you see people tweeting about the show and whatever and giving, yep, their 2 cents and talking about it on podcasts. We didn't have that. And it's really cool that kind of like the community of Survivor players is starting to grow, and that really will add to the experience. So a couple of things I wanted to just let everyone know before we get into it, because we've got a lot to get through. The first one is that there are absolutely no spoilers here. We have not been spoiled. I certainly haven't. I avoid spoilers like the plague. I'm not sure how many are out there, but I'm sure there are some. Do not send them to us. Do not. We are not interested. Ryan, would you agree with that?
Oh, if you send me spoilers, I'm going to be so annoyed. And it was so annoying last year with Sportsbet. If I get a Sportsbet spoiler sent to me, I'm going to actively trace you down, and I don't know what I'm going to do. It's
good.
Spoilers.
If do not go on the betting companies' websites, because in Australia that is a thing, and it can give away stuff. And just don't even click on it. Don't bother looking at it, and definitely don't bring it up to anyone, because the less that people talk about it, the better. So avoid that. A couple of other things I wanted to talk about is that this has been pre-recorded. So what you would have been listening to a couple of weeks ago was the penultimate week of Survivor New Zealand. I recorded that with Ryan. We had a great show breaking down everything leading into the finale. Since then, the finale of Survivor New Zealand has aired. Who knows who the winner was crowned?
Nick, can you believe that person won Survivor New Zealand?
Oh,
it was amazing.
Oh my God, I cannot believe that X took it out. And did you see what happened in the final Tribal Council?
Oh, wow. Yeah. We're so unlucky. My God. Yeah.
Well, let's see what happens later here today with the Australian Survivor, because we've got a Ziggy on the list that we need to talk about. So yeah. This has been pre-recorded. I'm currently on my honeymoon somewhere in Africa. No Wi-Fi, so I thought we'd pre-record this. So because it's pre-recorded, a couple of things probably have come out in the media, or more information has been released by Channel 10 since we recorded this. So if some of our information is a little bit out of date, be forgiving. We are recording this a couple of weeks ago. And the last thing is this, Ryan. I want to tell everyone a little bit of a story about, probably it would have been about a year ago. So this time a year ago, I think, and wow, actually
tomorrow, Nick,
probably should have worked this out, that was tomorrow the day that I was voted out?
It is, and I remember that because tomorrow's actually my birthday, so that's all I remember when you were voted out.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
And when people are listening to this, it was 2 weeks ago, so thank you for your birthday. Congratulations in advance. Yeah. It's amazing.
We're recording this on June 27th. And June 28th seems to be the 1 year anniversary of when I was voted out. So I was voted out, and then I had a whole bunch of time in the jury. And as we were getting towards the end of the game, we were not allowed to use the internet. We were not allowed to use our phones or anything. But after the final tribal council, we had 2 days at Ponderosa, 2 days at Drew Villa before we could come home. And on that last day, just before we left, we were allowed to listen to a podcast. We were able to kind of search if any news had come out. And the first thing that when, you know, and we weren't allowed to use the internet, but someone, the handler typed it in for us and saw that, you know, that this podcast popped up, the Australian Survivor Community Podcast, which you run.
Yep.
And you previewed the season.
I did.
A couple of us sat around like a really, really slow Samoan internet and just kind of listened. We didn't get the whole thing because the internet cut out, but we listened to you and, who was it, Cable or someone?
I think it might have been Cable at the time, yeah.
Yeah, to talk through a cast preview for season one, and it was the most surreal thing ever, especially sitting around with everyone. And you actually got a lot of it quite correct.
I feel I haven't listened to it in a while. I know Lee was my winner's pick, and I think that's just I felt like someone who had the ultimate mateship was going to win the season. So I got close, but
yes,
I think I had a couple. I thought Kylie was going to be a great player. I think I was high on Bianca as well, and she didn't quite pan out. So we don't like
can't win them all. You can't win them all.
So, but it's exciting that I was genuinely excited when I heard that story that you guys had listened to my podcast, and you know it's so fun for new players to be able to join that journey and take a path on listening to just random people talk about them and really have no idea.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we were sitting there and we were listening and, like, you know, even though you had no idea who we were, you were going by like the smallest bio ever. And yes, you knew me from school, but you got a lot of it correct. But there was a lot of it that we were like laughing at that like was incorrect, because yeah, how the hell are you supposed to get this right? So this is a disclaimer. If you are a current season two player, and I know that some of you have been following the podcast, I've heard on the grapevine, I have no spoilers, remember. Please know that this is all based off complete conjecture of your one paragraph, a couple of still shots, and some really, really heavily edited promo footage. So this is just my opinion. This is just Ryan's opinion. And I hope that if we are not so high on you, that you prove us wrong, because if Survivor has taught everyone anything, it's that I am often wrong.
Yeah, I think that covering Australian Survivor last year proved that I was wrong most of the time. So don't take any, you know, negatives towards what we say. It's all a bit of fun. And like, I think this is a pretty good bunch of people, Nick. I think as a next season, coming off what you guys had set out in season one, I think that overall it looks like a pretty solid cast.
Yeah, I agree. I am so pumped. I think this group of people looks great. I do not have any jealousy to be out there. I do not feel bad that it feels sad that anyone's coming to take my spot as the, you know, a current Survivor, you know, player. Have at it. And these guys look great. I am so, so pumped for them to take on the screen and to watch from the comfort of my couch. I cannot wait. So a couple of things I want to just kind of go over. So the cast looks super interesting to me. But what about the first thing I want to talk about is it's been a lot of things that's been reported in the media last year about the diversity of the cast. Let's really quickly, how do you feel about that? Have we recorrected what happened last year?
I don't know. It's even been a debate in like online communities as well. I think that there is a diversity on the cast. I think the big thing is that we watch US Survivor and we watch Survivor New Zealand as well, where the cast have been quite diverse. I don't know if Australia overall, we talk about being a multicultural nation. I don't know. It's such a contentious issue. I just want the best players who go out there and play the game to be picked. So we saw last year Barry was picked and he wasn't a great player. So that didn't really help having that culture diversity. So I just want good players wherever they're from. Doesn't matter their skin color, their race, their sexuality, whatever it is. Like, you could have, I don't know, 24 Martians. As long as they play well, that's all I care about.
Yeah, I would say I'm in a similar camp, but I feel like you said about Barry, my perception is colored by the fact that I played with Barry and I saw how little he brought to the TV show. He was a great guy in real life, but how little he brought to the TV show. So I'm not of the mind that we should have people just to fulfill a quota. However, that being said, we should definitely have representation. Oh, and yeah, I think we do have that this year a little bit better. Last year, that we had Barry, and then people were like, is Brooke something, and then people were like, and I think Nick, and
they were
like, and it's like when someone who is a second generation Italian is the third most racially diverse person on your cast, you're in trouble. Like I'm Australian, and it was funny to me that people would be like, oh, at least we've got, you know, three of them. Just like, what? So that was interesting to me. So I think we've definitely fixed that into some, we're getting there. We're tracking well.
Yeah.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about was, and I was mentioning this to you a little bit off, before the podcast started, is that I feel like the shadow of season one will loom quite large in these people's minds. And I want to kind of explain something, get your thoughts on this.
Go.
That we had such a huge pushback from fans about this whole idea of mateship. And we don't want to hear about mateship. We want to play I feel like the network maybe got it a little bit wrong, overestimating how much we cared about, you know, intrinsic Australian values and things like that, because the real fans didn't really care. And based on what happened in the final tribal council, the people out there in the end didn't care either. So I feel like, I wonder if that will then be represented in A, the casting choices, and B, the way that people interact with people out there who do display mateship, or will it swing the other way and people will try hold on to those values and demonize people who want to play the game still? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's really interesting you raise that. So for like our American listeners who don't see the adverts have been so heavy that there's been a glaring omission for me, and even in the bios, Nick, and this Edmo might love this reference, but mateship has become obsolete. It's not there anymore. It's been completely removed from the Australian Survivor vernacular. It's not there. I don't know. So I feel as if maybe in terms of the casting process, they'd look for people who are willing to play a game. Yeah. I get a strong feel for that, reading the bios, seeing the adverts that we've seen so far. I just feel that we saw last year mateship has a part in the game, but it can't be a ride and die. You have to make a decision to play the game at a point. And I do feel they've gone out and specifically targeted 24 people who, they might not be all Survivor super fans, but they're people who are willing to actually give something a go and not just get run over. So yeah.
And that's good. We don't really want Survivor super fans. We don't want 24 of them. That doesn't work.
No.
But a good mix, a really good mix is important. And more that the show doesn't steer us towards mateship. So I think that is a perfect spot to talk about how we're going to talk about these 24 newbies. We've got 24 contestants, 55 days again. It seems like it's two tribes. We've got the pink buff and the blue buff, which I think is pretty cool. Is this like a bit of a Cambodia second chances?
It looks a bit like that, yeah. I like the colors of the buff. I don't know.
Love it.
Yeah, I wish I had the buffs in my hand so I could actually see what they look like, but they look really cool. I like that they didn't use the same colors as last year as well. So
definitely,
that's exciting. It's so easy just to be a show that goes season by season, just use the same things every time. So I'm excited that they've changed it up. I'm excited to see what they use next season. So yeah, it's really great.
All right. So I want to do it like this, and you tell me if you think this is a good idea.
Okay.
We had this so much discussion of the word snake last year, especially in association with me.
Wait, is that snake? I've never heard that word before.
And we also had, again, this whole idea about mateship.
Yeah.
I've gone through the list, and I've divided people up into who I think are the snakes and who I think are the mates. How do you feel if we were to tackle it that way?
That's fine. I'm happy to go snakes first mates, which is, you know, just an aside, Australian Survivor. I genuinely believe there's always been this talk. I would love to see a heroes versus villain season, but genuinely, I would love to see a snakes versus mates season. That would be top notch for me.
If heroes villains ever does happen in Australia, it has to be called snakes mates. Snakes v mates.
You don't use the V anymore. Brad Culpepper has taught us it's just snakes mates. You don't, there's no
snakes
V.
Mates. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not an even split. It's actually, I feel like we've got quite a few more snakes than we've got mates. So let's start with the mates.
Okay.
Snakes are the more exciting ones. So let's start with the mates. These are the people who, based on their, you know, bios and things, I feel like won't be playing as a cutthroat game. But some good stuff here. So the first person of the rank, and if you're living in Australia tonight, which is your 2 weeks ago, there was an ad that was dropped tonight of Amy, The young Amy. Blonde. We've got Amy's her first cab off the rank. She's 23 years old. She's young, blonde, good looking. She's a plumber. So this is the kind of interesting catch they're going for with her. So she doesn't kind of adhere to that conventional, what you expect a young, blonde, good looking girl to be. And what are your thoughts on Amy?
I love Amy. I just have to say, like the advert came out, we just watched it. The hashtag, a real top Sheila. She's just, yes. She, for the Americans who are watching, this is what we call like an ochre Australian, do we call her a Shelly nerd? Not even a girl, a bogan. She is, and that's not a negative. I think that's really exciting.
I'm excited.
I'm excited that we actually have a genuine girl, unique character. She so stands out in this whole bunch, yes. Because she's just different. She's not like anyone we saw last season. She's authentically Australian.
Yes.
And I absolutely love that we've got someone who, you know, is she going to play the greatest strategic game of all time? No. She's already talking about, you know, in her diary, she wrote that she's going to win Survivor. Like, I think watching Survivor New Zealand, Nick, we're a bit over diaries. So,
yeah.
Which is exciting. But I feel like she's going to play a game that, you know, it's not going to be the best, but I'm excited to see her for the time that she's there. Yeah. I want her to go deep. I don't know where she's going to go.
I think she is.
Yeah.
I see her on the jury, if not further. I just think that she seems like someone who everyone will enjoy. She might get a little bit annoying, but I think, you know, she does speak maybe like a female Sam, which always triggers me. But I think she's a lot of fun. She pushes herself. She walked 500 Ks on a dare. It took her a month to walk from Melbourne to Canberra.
That is crazy. Why would you do that? But like, kudos. Like, that is absolutely amazing. But I could not imagine just saying, hey, Nick, I'm just going to walk to Melbourne tomorrow. That's just, and that's what she did effectively. Like, that is crazy.
You're not a real top Sheila. That's why.
No, I see.
Well, she said she survived off canned tuna and she had her shoes stolen. And I was like, Rupert, like, what are you doing out on the road between Melbourne and Canberra?
Yeah.
Give back Amy's shoes.
Oh, God.
I'm really excited about Amy. So big tick from her. She did say one quote before we move on that I think is great. She said, "Survivor I'm not going into Australian Survivor with a massive game plan like others probably are, because the moment something changes, they will have nothing to fall back on. Someone like Andrew from last year would drive me crazy out there." So this is why she's firmly in the mates category.
Yeah, definitely a mate.
Andy
is a snake. She is a mate, and they would definitely not get on. Oil and water.
They would be on separate tribes on hashtag snakes mates.
Yep.
The next we've got Ben. Ben is someone who I found really difficult. I don't know where to put him, whether it was a snake, whether it was a mate, whether he's going to go far, whether he's going to be the first one out. I really don't know, but he's 20 years old. He's the youngest person on the cast as far as I can tell. He is a fast food assistant. So he works at a burger joint we've got here called Grilled. He still lives at home. He mentions Tinder. Ryan, are you swiping right or are you swiping left?
Swiping left, and it's a heavy left, unfortunately. I said in the podcast with Craig, I just feel that it gives me Connor 2.0 vibes majorly. And
yeah, right.
I like Ben, but I think he might be just too young for Survivor. Survivor's a game for adults, and you need to know how to play the game. And I don't know if he has that life experience yet to be able to deal with the social politics of this game.
I don't think his age will stop him getting far, because I don't think that'll be, but his age definitely will stop people awarding him the win. And this is something that we've always spoken about Survivor with the young people.
Yeah.
He leans into it and says, you know, I don't have the life experience. I still live at home, but that's kind of an advantage. And hey, I'm interested to see how that happens. So I do think that we're getting the Eric Reichenbach vibes from him.
Yeah, majorly. Ice cream tuber.
Yeah. Yeah. So one to watch. He's got that big frizzy hair. I don't know. I think he could be funny because he mentions how much of a klutz he is. So I have no idea. He's one of two people that I have no idea whether they're a snake, a mate, going early or going first. So
yep.
What do you think? What do you think? He's not going to make it?
I don't know. I feel like a pre-merge, but it wouldn't surprise me if he made it. Like he might just be like Will Wall. I just see him in that same lane where if he can find someone to be the wingman of and just like float under, he could do okay. So I'm not really sure where Ben goes.
I see him making the merge, but not the jury. One of that kind of like the Kate Connor.
Oh, yeah,
Connor,
definitely. Like I said, Connor 2.0. So it wouldn't surprise me if they're all in the same spot.
Next, we've got Jackie. So Jackie is a 50-year-old woman, super fit. She is a marriage celebrant from Byron Bay, beautiful part of Australia.
Yeah, amazing.
If have been there. What are your thoughts?
So Jackie is someone who I saw her application video, Nick. She posted it on YouTube. So I don't know what to make of that. It was removed, but there's not much that doesn't escape me if it's posted. So
this is why you're the professor.
The big thing that I took from that video was that she definitely wants to play like a straightforward game, super fit, strategic. No, she's there. I think she's going to be very direct in the way she comes across. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how that'll go. I think she could annoy some people early. And I do worry that might impact the game, but if she can bite her tongue and just be like an asset, and she is physically strong, she's not one of these older women who you think, oh, just an easy boot. She is quite physically strong, so she could do okay if she can use those assets productively.
Yeah. Look, I think she sounds very interesting, and I can see why she was cast with job and but I'm just not feeling it. Like, her quote is, "I think I'll have a bit of Kylie's get out of my way attitude." Mm. And as someone who spent a really, really long time with Kylie, you don't want Kylie's attitude out there. Kylie was a let me rephrase that. Kylie had a great attitude, but she just didn't understand why people didn't gel with her. And, you know, I annoyed people, but like there were also people who I didn't. Kylie annoyed everyone, and it was because of that attitude. And I feel like that's probably not someone you want to model your game on. I feel like that she would be someone who, wouldn't understand that people didn't kind of warm to her, which is kind of like, and in Kylie's everyday life, she has so many like lovely people around her who's, you know, but it just didn't translate into the game. So
Kylie's amazing. I've met Kylie a couple of times now, and every time I've been with her, she's absolutely warm, wonderful. But when you're in an environment like Survivor, Nick, you know, you played with her. So it's just, the small things can
translate.
Be really grating. So.
Yeah, and I was the same. So this is no shade on Kylie or Jackie, but I'm not feeling it. So I hope she proves me wrong.
Yep.
After that, we've got Jared. And Jared to me is, I had no idea how big Jared was.
Or small in that case.
Yeah, small in size, body size, but big in online presence. Yep. I did a bit of an Insta stalk.
Wow.
And his Instagram isn't on private because he's a public figure pretty much. He's got like 100 and something followers. He posts the most insane photos. He is 29. He's this photographer, well-renowned photographer. He's worked with Ed Sheeran, et cetera. If you go on his Instagram, you will be so – you just get so much wanderlust and you just want to travel around. Like, it's he's very well-traveled.
Yeah, the guy's a ledge. And you go onto YouTube and write in Jared Sang Steve Aoki. He does this thing where he goes to a music festival and dresses Steve Aoki. It's absolutely hilarious.
Oh, that's so funny. He's got the real Steve Aoki look with the long hair.
Yeah, it's just so good. I think to me that talks about someone who's, you know, can poke fun at themselves, have a good time. Yeah. So I like Jared. I think that socially he'll do really well. I just think he's just so small, and he talks about never going to the gym, not really ever working out. Like, that's pretty hard when you're playing Survivor. Like, Nick, he's smaller than I am. That's crazy.
When you say small, do you mean in height or build?
Height and weight. Like, he's a small dude.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I understand. I can see that. But I think his personality is what's going to kind of get him through. He seems like he'd be a lot of fun. He seems trustworthy. He seems like, you know, he'd have great stories. But, like, I reckon people will get jealous of that. I really do.
Do you think he goes out there and he tells everyone, I'm this major successful photographer, or how does he sell it?
I think he tells people he's a photographer, and I think he's the kind of person that, like, you know, he will definitely share stories of his life because his life seems pretty cool. And I know Instagram is the highlights reel, not the reality sometimes, but he seems like he's, you know, been around the block and seen some cool stuff. So I feel like just that kind of stuff can make me feel jealous. One of the things I realize out there on Survivor is that a lot of people aren't happy with their lives, and they go out there looking for this kind of transformative experience. And to have someone kind of running around saying, you know, I've done this and done that, and if he does tell them, I wonder if people will resent that in the end. Or if people will be like, your life's fine, you don't need $500,000.
That's a really interesting way to look at it. And I guess he's just someone who has all these amazing experiences. I do wonder if that will grate people, but I can definitely see your point.
Yeah, I like it. I think he seems great, but I'm keeping him in the mates category, I think.
I think he's a mate as well.
Yeah. He said, I would hate to cause pain to people I like or have aligned with. It's a brutal game. On the other hand, if someone I do not like or has done me wrong, revenge will be sweet. But that's kind of implies a passivity to his game. Like, he's not going to kind of be the first one to make the move. So regardless, super interested to watch him.
Yeah, agree.
Next, we have Kate. She's a 47-year-old woman. She's a financial executive. Not much popping out to me from her bio, which is a shame. She talks about being a parent. She talks about how she loved Elle. You know, but she's in the mates category for me because she says it's important to not only teach values but to be a strong role model as a parent. I want to show my children the power of being brave and reaching your dreams. All very admirable and very true things that you look for in a mother, a friend, a colleague and stuff. But is that going to shine through in a game that's really not designed for those kind of values? I don't know.
Yeah, she was definitely one of the most interesting choices, I guess, because I read as well. I was like, I don't quite get it. And everyone has a thing, Nick. Like, there's a reason that everyone is picked, But like, when I look at her, I think she kind of reminds me of T-Bird in the way she looks.
Yeah.
But that's really it. Like, I don't get a major feel for who she is. I feel like she is someone I need to see on TV to get an appreciation of who she is and be like, oh, okay, that's the reason they picked her. But right now, I have no real idea. And her bio is just so generic. It's kind of like a job application, not a Survivor resume.
Yeah, it's funny. I do wonder why she was cast. Everyone has a story. I thought the same thing about Kate when I first met her out on the island, as in Kate from season one.
Yeah.
And then we found out her backstory. And it's like, of course, like, makes sense. You're a great person. Like, you've got this great story. But like, you also, you know, it's not just that you were a positive person. So I'm sure she has something. And I'll be interested to see it happen, come out. But at the moment, not seeing it. What about the next one in the mates category? We got Lockie. Would you consider him a mate?
From his bio, yeah, I think so. Look, he just talks about, he kind of gives me like a Jay Aussie. I know he doesn't look like that, but in terms of, he talks about being really physical. He's really tall. He likes a challenge. He's an adventure guide. He's someone who likes to be outdoors. So I think he would fall more into the mates category, where he's someone who's wanting to, you know, build those social relationships, stick with the strong, I think would be his main thing as well. I don't think he's going to get on with some of the weaker types out there. So I think he's going to be one of the people who's like, I've got to go be the provider of my tribe. This is how it's done. The taking on the leadership role, Nick, and you know well about that as well.
Yeah. Look, he's a young, good-looking guy. He's got the cool tattoos. He's got this awesome job, adventure guide. He spends half the year in Perth as a roof plumber, the other half in Europe as an adventure guide. He's got all this really cool stuff. But when you read his bio, you feel like it's someone who doesn't enjoy Survivor for the strategy part of it. And again, that doesn't, it's not a prerequisite for doing well, and it's not a prerequisite for being a good character and stuff. But his bio is all about, you know, he goes, I'm not a super fan, but I've seen Survivor. I love it. I've always thought it'd be great to try to take part in the challenges. You know, the people that watch the show for the challenges. I want to be a provider around camp. Yep. He says, and this is the bit that triggers me, Ryan. Mm-hmm. I want them to need me. I want to be the hero.
So definitely a mate. And that's the thing. He's the guy who has probably, Survivor, that would be a really cool adventure. Seen the highlights on TV, probably doesn't even watch TV, to be honest. Probably seen some highlights during a footy game. It's like, yeah, I'll give that a show. And has got on the show, probably YouTube what the challenges are. Be like, okay, that's pretty cool. We'll give it a go. But he's the kind of guy who gets to the merge and doesn't know what the merge is, in my opinion.
I agree. I would probably bet a lot of money that if he had to rank his top three players, like Aussie and Joe Anglim are in there. Like, yeah. I can't see them not. Like, I just can't see it. But he's being heavily promoted by the show. Like, he is, you know, he's appearing, he'll get his own commercial, one of the own character cells. And he seems like, a big dude, someone you'd want on your side. But he says, I don't want to be backstabbing. I want to play the game hard, but in a good way. So we'll see. You need to have a mix. We can't have all these crazy cutthroat people. No. We need to have a good mix. So
you need a good balance.
It's not that I'm down on Lockie. It's just that he approaches the game differently for me. However, I do see him going far. I see him making the jury for sure.
Yeah, I physically he's so strong. Unless he's taken out just before the jury, then yeah, he'll make it very far.
Yeah. What about someone who is very similar in my opinion, and you see them in the ads kind of going down the slide together, like the big, it's like they're chasing after like a rugby ball or something like that, yeah. The oiled up slide, and there's these two big blokes. We've got Mark W. So we've got two Marks on the season. This is the younger Mark. He's 37. He's a former special ops, former volunteer, or I think he's a volunteer SES firefighter or something like that. He's definitely been all over the world, and now he owns his own fashion label, and I think he runs it out of New York, or he spends time in New York or something like that. He's from WA, I think. So what are your thoughts on Mark?
Mark is someone who really intrigues me. He gives me the Lee/L vibes. I made a joke in a bio that I wrote that he kind of is like Lee and L's love child from the future. He's come back in time on the DeLorean, and he's coming to rectify the mistakes of his future parents.
That is so
on season
funny.
Two. So
that is so funny.
That is who Mark is, in my opinion. So, but again, saying that, he's super high in my estimations. I think he's going to do super well. I think he's someone who has that good relationships, physically strong, works in fashion, which is really unique as well. So it means he must have good social skills. So I'm buying Mark stock heavily.
Right. I'm not as high, but I do think he'll be around. I think he'll make the merge because I think people will want him on their side. I would want to work with him. I think he seems like a great guy.
Yeah.
I just don't know how many people would want to go far with him, especially with that awesome background. And, like you said, he's got this unique, fashion label thing. And, he does say, I think I'll be a lot like Lee, but not so naive. And I don't think Lee was naive. I know that sounds weird. I don't think he was naive. I just think I guess he was naive about the game. I don't think he was naive about the relationships out there.
No.
I don't. So, yeah, he also says that, of course you can't be honest all the time. Sue was a killer and just got on with it. I would like to be like her. She was physical and good on the team, but I'll be more ruthless when I need to be. But the quote that really stands out is that he says, I love breaking the rules. A great quote I love is by Lord Nelson. No one ever made history by following the rules. I like it.
I like it as well. And it makes me think he talks about, very honorable players, Susie Q, Lee, and then he talks about breaking the rules. So I'm interested to see where he goes. He could be the progression from that type of player we saw last year with Lee, like a similar type, similar backgrounds. Can he come in and actually take that next step, do what Lee couldn't do and make the moves, but own it as well.
If he comes out and plays well and is not afraid to make the hard decisions, it is what I imagine Lee would be like on a second time.
Yeah.
Someone who has the personality that people are drawn to as a typical Australian bloke and interesting and funny and all that stuff, but just with an understanding of that it's okay to do those things. So I've put him in the mates category for now, but probably more of a hybrid.
Yeah, I definitely have him in the mates. So interesting where he goes.
We've got a couple more mates. The first one I've got, which is really interesting to me and something that I've been wanting to share with all of you all day, and this is Peter. Peter, 22 years old, a digital advertising producer. He's been featured in the commercials. It seems like he'll get his own commercial as well in the coming days. He talks about the social game quite heavily.
Yeah.
But there's something I want to talk to everyone about.
Nick, before you go, is this the moment where you tell the world that you are actually related to Peter and he's your cousin?
Not quite.
Okay.
When I first saw the commercial and I saw Pete, I was like, and this is, again, how you judge a book by a cover. I was like, this guy, he's got glasses. He must be sneaky. And I was like, this guy is going to be like he's going to play the game the way that I tried to play it, but he's going to be successful at it because he wants to get in and get dirty, but also like with the respect of the game and kind of like, I think he'll give good commentary and stuff like that. And then today someone reached out to me, and I won't throw them under the bus, but someone reached out to me and said, oh, I know one of the players. Do you mind if I tell you something about them? And I said, as long as it's not a spoiler or something that they wouldn't want revealed about their personal life, okay. And they said, I know Peter. I've spoken to him once. And he said that last season he absolutely hated me. hated the way I played. And there were a lot of people who were like that. But it was just so funny to me because I judged this book by a cover and thought, this guy is going to be like me and he's going to want to play strategically and he's going to want to at least try and, like, you know, make moves and things. And then we find out that he didn't like me or the way I played, but loved Connor. And Connor is a great guy, really nice but guy. He, in many ways, was the antithesis of the way that I played because he was, you know, you see him getting, you know, Kate gives him his trust in his hand and he puts it in his pocket. And it's just, yeah, I found that really interesting. Yeah. So it's not what I expected.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what to make of Peter. Like, I read the bio, apparently like a huge laugh, a bit flamboyant, likes to be social. So it's fascinating that he is a super fan, apparently, but he hates you. I don't know where that goes. So I'm interested to talk to Peter and find out who he does like and what kind of seasons he likes, but it's a different type of fan to maybe who you and I are.
I would love to talk to Peter. So Peter, if you hear this, reach out to me. Obviously I don't want any spoilers, but I would love to have a chat. But the one thing I want to say before we move on from Peter is that I think that he will be someone that, like, even if he does kind of not identify with the gameplay that I had, hopefully he can play it in a way that was much better than the way I anticipated. And that I think that if he lasts long enough, and I do see him going far, I feel like that he will be one to watch. But the thing about Peter, that, and this is something that probably goes back to what I said at the beginning of the podcast, the looming shadow of season one, I looked at him and I saw, ooh, that's a sneaky player who looks like me. Is that what other people are going to think?
It's interesting you say that. Like, I don't know. You've played and you've been out there. I can only go on what I would say. I think that I would be drawing a lot of parallels between the people that have played previously and the people they pick this year, filling a similar role.
Yeah.
So, like we just spoke about Mark, and I get Major Lee vibes. I look at Peter. He does look like you. So I would think maybe this guy is sneaky on initial impression. So, yeah, hopefully the shadow of Nikai Danza doesn't come and snake bite him in the ass.
Yeah,
but
I hope not either. I don't want, like, anyone to be like, because I'm sure that they will talk about the season one people out there. I know they will. I would. We were talking about the American people, and I hope that people don't paint him with a brush, like, oh, he's like that Nick guy, because that would be really, really crummy. I know what it's like to be painted with a brush that you can't get out from underneath. So I hope I haven't screwed your game, Peter, but if I have, maybe it was because you said you hated me.
cover.
And that's why I'm a snake. Okay. A couple more. Sam, 32. She's a marathon runner, ultra marathons across four deserts. She's a World Vision ambassador, stealing JL's thing. She's got overalls, stealing L's thing. But no, I got to say, I'm feeling Sam. I like her.
I love Sam. I think that she's someone who has, like, almost a total package. Physically has to be absolutely on top of her game. Ultra marathon runner, huge. She studied law. You know, this is the thing about this show. They seem to cast a lot of people with these law backgrounds who are also quite physically fit, attractive. So I just think she's someone who's going to go far. I can't see why she would be out early. She does have a bit of an L vibe as well. So I feel like she could make a really deep run in this game, and you get to the end, you're like, wow, Sam's still here, and give her the votes. Like, it's very plausible to me.
She says that she's, you know, her mongrel comes out of that starting line, and that's something that Sue and I used to always talk about, like, get your mongrel on. And one of the things that she says at the end is that, like, all the projects I've worked on take me out of my comfort zone, but I've always been involved collaborating with supportive people.
That's amazing.
that's not what Survivor's about, Sam. So hopefully that doesn't hinder her, because I'm hopeful and I really I like
her.
Yeah,
I like her as well. I think that she is potentially savvy enough to navigate the game. So I have high hopes for Sam.
The last mate, and this is the second person that I, just like Ben, I didn't know where to put them. This is someone who could go either way for me. They could be the first boot. They could be the go on to win the whole thing. They can be a snake. They can be a mate. I've got no idea, but this is Nicola Zagami. I think that's how you say it. She is 26. She's a great looking young girl. She is an Olympic athlete, a twice bronze medalist. She played water polo for Australia at the London Games, and she's now retired from that, and she's a radiologist. I think she's got a really cool story. What do you think of
Ziggy's
a cool, cool name.
Yeah, super cool name. I feel like we're probably going to both stuff it up and start calling her Figgy at some stage. But it's
Zigtails.
So, oh God, hope not. She's someone who is going to be really ultra competitive, though. So I just wonder, how is she going to go? She's been an Olympian, and you know what? Like you have a lot of friends who are athletes and things like that, Nick. Like, these guys, these girls are super competitive. They don't like losing. And we've seen in like last year, I kind of get like a kind of a Kate vibe. I don't know why, but I keep thinking Kate at the challenge with Andrew, where Andrew stuffs up the coconuts and Kate just getting so pissed off that it just has to get rid of him.
Yeah.
I feel like she's that type of person where it's like, I can't play with this person anymore. They keep stuffing the challenges. We keep losing, or we keep, you know, whatever. Yeah. Let's just get rid of someone. I feel like that's the type of person she might be.
She used the best metaphor, I thought, from all the reading all the bios about the people think water polo is about what goes on above the surface, but 90% of it is what happens under the water. It's like being a smiling assassin. You have to be cool, but under the water, you are throwing punches. I'll use some of those techniques to be the sole survivor. Love it.
Brilliant. I think she could do well. I'm high on Ziggy.
I have no idea. She could be the first one out. She could be the
Why do you think she'd be the first one out?
No, I have no idea. I for some reason, her and Ben are the only two that I'm really struggling with. And let's be real, I'm probably wrong with all of them, but they're the only two that I don't have like an instant gut feeling about where to
put. Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like she'd be the first one out just because she's so physical. And I feel, I don't know. I don't see that we're in a stage in Australian Survivor yet where a big threat is like the first one out. I still feel it's going to be the low hanging fruit.
Yeah, I'm very interested. So that's the end of the mates. They're the people that the Australian Survivor, Australian reality TV likes to separate people into, you know, the heroes and the villains. They're the people that maybe. Would you agree with all those?
Yes, for the most part. Like, I think maybe when we get to some of the ones that you're calling snakes, I might just counter and say, why do you think that's a, yeah.
Okay, cool. Great. Well, let's get to it. Let's start with a fellow Adelaide boy. There's three guys from our hometown. And this is Aaron, AK, and he's 29. He is a wedding DJ. And he's someone who in his bio comes across as being like, super ruthless and, you know, wants to win and super competitive. And I'm really digging it.
Yeah,
loving it.
I think it's really cool. He talks about being a fan of reality TV. I do feel like you're a fan of reality TV. So am I. We have all these theories about things we can do on the island, but it really can be blown up if the people around us don't allow us to play those type of things as well.
Yes,
so I do worry about it. But like, I like him. I just don't know where he might go. He's someone who could play a big game early and blow up, or he could play a slow game and just mander out and not live up to that potential. So I'm excited because he's another Adelaide boy and we want to see Adelaide guys do well. But yeah, he's probably one of those ones for me, Nick, where I'm like, I don't know. I just have to wait and see.
Yeah. I am really hopeful. He's one of the people I'm throwing my weight behind. And it's not just because he mentions me in his bio. He says, last year was great and I was gunning for Evan, Nick and Phoebe as I thought they were real players and people I wanted to see do well. All of us were out before, you know, before the top 10. So probably not the best three people to model your game on. But, you know, I get what he's saying. He wants to kind of play hard because he says he'll be using some loose morals to play the game.
What I really love about that as well, though, Nick, is that he mentions Evan. Like, it's very easy to say you and Phoebe, who are two of the like flag bearers of the season. But Evan is someone who, like, I think as a fan played a really
totally
really good game, and he just got a bit unlucky and went out very early. And that could have happened to you as well. And I like that. it nearly did. And it's really great that he can acknowledge, like, that's still a player who I want to model myself on, even though they didn't have that success. So that is exciting for me to see.
He has drank the big move Kool-Aid because he talks about big moves, but hey, as a fan, I like watching him. So
yeah, agree.
Good luck, Aaron. Good luck. Do Adelaide proud. Okay. After that, we've got someone who's getting a lot of attention, and that is Adam. Adam is 40 and he's a polka player.
Polka.
If anyone wants, a polka player, the late great Joan Rivers, if anyone saw that on the Celebrity Apprentice, the greatest. So we got the polka player. What are your thoughts on him?
I like Adam. I think that he could play a really big game. Sorry. It's interesting in terms of the poker players, because we traditionally see these poker players play US Survivor and they usually are horrible. Like, I've seen comparisons to John Robert already with Adam. So I, being tall and big, and I don't know how he's going to go, but it, I think the big thing with poker players is that poker is such an individual game. It's all about the subtlety, the you know, not moving, not making different movements, being very repetitive in your motions. I don't know how that works in a game that is so fluid like Survivor. So I'm interested to see how he goes, but I've never bought the argument that if you're a good poker player, you're a good Survivor player. I just don't see the parallels.
Yeah. I agree, but I'm excited that if a poker player was to go far, because I feel like they've like you said, they've never done well, and I think that he could be someone who changes that, because he seems pretty intense though. Like, if what happened last season happens again, I cannot see someone of his intensity lasting.
I don't think the people are like last season as well. So that's why I think that he might be better suited to this season, where there are people who like playing maybe on a higher level than last season. So I think that if he can fit himself in with the right people, he could definitely accelerate his own game and play really well and progress quite far in the game.
Matt posted something on Twitter saying, I thought, and this is a quote from Adam, I thought some of the contestants last year were pretty average, to be honest. I had a chuckle at that. I think that's funny. Ooh. I think that's funny because it shows that he is willing, because I'm sure he's talking about people that, like, you know, weren't willing to play the game. And, and I think that shows that he is. And the quote that I like from Adam's thing is, he says, I plan on leaving my moral compass back in Australia and doing the fans of the best game in the world and the entire Survivor franchise proud by playing the game as a game, not as a competition, to find Australia's most honourable citizen.
I love that as well. And I read an article in the Sydney Morning Herald where he talks about all that stuff. He talks about how he's watched every season. You know, he really analysed with his notebook Australian Survivor, really finding out about the season, the way that different people played, and analysing it as a different game from US Survivor. So I guess in terms of mental and strategic preparation, he's probably one of the best going out there.
I like that he's thinking about the fans, and this is not just me sucking kneecaps, but when I was out there, I would think, like, what would I want to watch on TV? And it did kind of like give me the confidence to make that dumb poem for the neutral box thing. And even though it didn't work out, like, I knew that I would like to see someone take that kind of risk, kind of, because I think it's important that those risks were being taken. I don't know. And you do think about the people who watch back home, and you want to make them proud. You always want your game to pan out. But I like that he thinks about that, because it shows that he's thinking about us, the fans. So I'm interested.
Yeah, me too.
Someone else I'm interested about is Annalise. She's 23 and she's our obsessed Survivor fan. I think she seems to be her and Adam, I would say, are the two biggest super fans. Would you agree with that?
Yep. I would agree. Look, the language used in the profile, they keep calling them mega fans. That's like Australian Survivor. Whoever's writing, I'm available. I can write these promos if you want, but it's exciting. Something I really liked about Annalise is that she talks about how she lost 35 kilos over the last period. Like, that takes determination. So I like that she's someone who obviously is intelligent enough. She talks about having scholarships, being involved in international sport. Her parents are role models. Yeah. So the thing that I love, and I don't want to steal your thunder, but the thing that I love the most was her talking about her hall pass for all time is Jeff Probst.
Yes.
I think me and you probably have the same hall pass.
Definitely.
Absolutely brilliant. So I am super high on Annalise. Loved her promotional stuff so far. So I'm excited to see how she goes, but she's definitely high on my radar.
I'd say there are I'd say there are like three people that I'm really cheering on. Like I'm cheering on AK, I'm cheering on Annalise, and we'll get to the third one later. But I really want her to do well. And it's not just because she's a super fan, but I like the way that she talks. And I know it's just such a small bio, but the sad thing is I don't know if I've got high hopes for her. And I'm just worried that she's not going to make the merge. I feel like she's someone who could go in that kind of like she could.
Nick, don't tell me this. I don't want to hear this.
I know. I just feel like she's someone who will start off in a good spot and then a swap will screw her over. And, you know, I can just see it now. I hope that's not the spot that she goes in, like the kind of, you know, like the Tegan kind of cat that, you know, before the merge can kind of heat up and stuff.
Yeah, I still have high hopes for her. I think that I'm hoping that, you know, she can build some social relationships and get her deeper into the game. I think like she knows the game well enough. She talks about, you know, being a Survivor super fan. This is a dream for her to go out and play. So I think that if she is smart enough about the game, she'll know to hide some of those traits early. She doesn't shout super fan to me. So she just shouts like cute young girl. Yeah. So I think she could do really well. She just hides some of those things early and makes her mark later in the game.
I'm rooting for you, Annalise. We're all rooting for you. All the fans, we're all rooting for you. What about someone who I'm super interested in? And this is another Adelaide boy. This is Henry.
Henry. Henry's interesting because like he's talked about how he wanted to be this yoga instructor to everyone else, but he's only been practicing yoga for a couple of weeks. So
haven't you met him?
Oh, are we going that deep? Yes, I have met Henry before. Thank you for that, Nick. Thank you, Nick. So I have met Henry. He comes across as really intelligent. I think that he'd be good at both the strategic, social, physical part of the game. Like we saw the adverts, how much of a beast he is. He's a big lad. Like standing next to me, he towered over me. So really strong guy. But I also think that he'd be quite good. I think he could be good at puzzles. Nick, I don't know if he's up to the level of the puzzle kings and couple puzzle masters of last season, but I have high hopes for Henry. I think that he's the type of guy who is not going to be targeted early, in my opinion. Might be a bit of a flirt with some of the girls. Hopefully that's a pro and not a negative, but I'm excited to see how he plays. And again, an Adelaide boy, we're building the Adelaide trust cluster even more. So I'm excited to see how he plays. I'm fingers crossed for Henry.
I'm putting him in the snake category because he says, I'm a big fan of the Survivor series. Henry even looked into getting an American green card to apply for the show in the US, something which I used to look into.
We've all done it.
He goes, a real player, Henry plans to plant fake idols, give clues to the opposition, and do his best to mess with their heads. I hope that he doesn't get too overzealous with those things where they kind of, you know, ruin his game. But I feel like he's someone who could actually pull it off. And I am really excited. He does, like you said, this whole yoga thing seems to be like a front that he's putting on. But he's doing a lot of lying. He's said he's going to lie about his job and his yoga. He's also going to not tell people that he's a volunteer. And I don't know, the not telling who you are thing, I think it is a good strategy, but man, it's hard.
Well, we saw last season with Bianca where she just completely hid her career and profession and it stopped those social conversations.
Yeah.
I do feel like with Henry, though, that he is someone who is probably more socially comfortable in a group environment. So I think that he'll be able to skirt around those kind of things, maybe where Bianca had trouble. So if it works for him, great. But are we going to see the beach yoga coming out? Because that is something that happens on Survivor League where people do the yoga. He's going to be leading from the front. And if, you know, you've got people out there who have done yoga before and he can't pull off the moves, that might be tricky.
I'm really hopeful. I think he's going to be great. I also like that he's got this backstory about his mum, which is something that was a huge backstory for me. And one of the things that was the show wanted to explore, and it was on the show quite a lot. He said, I applied when my mum was healthy, and the whole reason I did it was because it's been my dream for such a long time. I put my life on hold when she was sick, and she always said to chase your dreams. It's a token of my appreciation for everything she did for me to be here. She told me it's time for me to chase my dreams. I love that. That's because I identify with that so much. So looking forward to
I think a lot of us do, Nick. And it's really good. I think it's amazing what he's done. And it would be interesting to see if they do explore that story on the show. But Yeah, I think that he's someone who, as a bio and as a character so far, he's been the most well-rounded person, yes, really, that we've read,
yes,
about.
Well, an interesting stretch of people here. I want to start with someone who I'm like really keen. This is the other person I'm really interested to see. This is Joan. She's a 29-year-old mother. She, yep, was pregnant at 16. She became temporary homeless where she slept at a bus stop for 3 nights because her parents kicked her out. She is now got 3 kids, I believe. She's married, and, yep, she is the owner and operator of an escape room business.
Yeah, Nick, and if your friends are anything like mine, you've probably done 1,000 escape rooms recently.
I have done every escape room in Adelaide and, may I say, gotten out of all of them.
That's really
and
good.
This is so cool.
Yeah, I think it's really fantastic. And just like as a casting choice as well, Joan physically probably is not someone that you'd typically expect to see on Survivor. And we saw it last season of Survivor New Zealand with Hannah. And that's my fear a little bit with Joan, because on paper, I'm so excited for Joan.
So I think that
she, you know, I get like Ceree, Sandra, kind of, you know, fish out of water kind of vibes. And I hope she gets the chance to play that game. So my fingers are really crossed for Joan.
Yeah, totally. She says that she goes, oh, do I have to choose whether I'm a hero or a villain? Oh, I'm like a hybrid. If you're saying that you're like maybe a little bit of each, it means you've got that villain in you. The villain will take over when you're out there. And trust me. And I really hope that she doesn't fall cursed to kind of what you were talking about before, about physically people view her as a liability, because her puzzle acumen should be quite high if she's someone who creates escape rooms. So Joan, another person who I am rooting for like a lot. I'm not sure if she'll make the merge, but fingers crossed. Let's move to Jericho, 25. He's battling Ziggy for the coolest name. That is,
yes,
the coolest. One of the coolest names. He's 25. He's a young guy. He's used to being the new kid in town. He's a flight attendant. What else have we got about Jericho? He's a mega fan, a super fan.
Yeah, he's a super fan of the show. And he's someone who I feel like I want to know what he knows of the show. I think that he can put himself in the right position. I've seen photos of him and he looks like really physically quite strong for a small guy. He kind of gives me like the Tai Trang body vibes, hopefully a lot better in terms of his gameplay than Tai Trang. But like I feel like he's someone who could make moves when they need to be made. And yeah, I like what we're seeing from Jericho so far.
Yeah, I think it comes through how excited he is to be there and how happy and pumped he is. So,
well, he talked about it, Nick, like he talks about when he got the phone call, that was something that was a huge moment in his life, and that is something he's going to remember forever. So that is just like, that is such a huge moment, and you're a super fan, and when you got that phone call and you're like, wow, I'm actually going to be playing Australian Survivor, it's a huge life-changing moment.
Burst into tears. Yeah. Burst into tears. He says that he watched last year's series and he liked some of the contenders, but they weren't given enough room to strike. They were playing with people who did not get the game, so they left early. That won't happen to me. So hopefully he learned from what happened last year. He says he doesn't want to play safe. He wants to play risky and he wants to experience it all. Good on you, son. You get out there and you just smash it. Like, just go hard and have no regrets, because I just have a feeling that kind of what I was talking about before with Peter, that kind of young, potentially schemey looking guy, is not going to be received well. And I actually think, and this is probably completely wrong, so Jericho, I apologize, I think he might be in that early cluster of people that go home.
Yeah, I don't know where he falls. I hope that he can go deeper than that. But yeah, I do agree. I feel like he's probably someone who maybe early, if he does come across a bit schemey, yeah, and there's more mates than snakes on his tribe, he could be in trouble.
I just realized I really like a lot of these people.
Yeah. Just a realization.
The third player from Adelaide, from our hometown, is Kent. He's 51 years old. He's, yeah, the chief finance officer for our Parliament House here in Adelaide.
Yeah.
He is an older bloke, but he's at 39. He swam Rottnest Island, and last year he swam 13 hours nonstop in the English Channel. That is
crazy, that is Nick.
Insanity. So earlier this year, a few people from season one Australian Survivor swam Rottnest. They did it as a group. It was Sam, Kate, Phoebe, and Craig, and they were all interchanging the entire time. I hear that some of them did more than others. Sam. they all did it together, and they said that it was exhausting, and I give mad props to those four for doing it. He did it, and he's like a lot older than any of them. And then he swam the English Channel. Like, this guy's a bloody jet. Like, good on him.
And it's so crazy because when you look at Kent, you're like, you don't see that.
No, you see like, the clearly white to have, hair, the glasses.
Yeah. So to have that physical strength to be able to do that is absolutely crazy because I would last 13 seconds, not 13 hours. So that's a huge thing for him to do. Like he talks about being a CFO of Parliament House. How do you think that's going to go, Nick? Because that's like a pretty big leadership role. You're used to being the boss. Yeah. How do you think that'll go when he has to take directions from people and not give them out?
I think to me, he comes across really gruff. And and I just don't know if that's going to fly. I feel like the ghost of Dez is haunting this guy, and I hate to make the comparison just based on age, but I feel like it's not about the age. Maybe his personality might rub people the wrong way, and that's hard to overcome. I hope it's not, because I love seeing Adelaide people go far, and he seems super interesting. He's had this really interesting life, but this comment kind of makes me maybe makes me think his perception is a little wrong. He says, a lot of the young kids look to the older people as a bit of a role model or advisor. So if you can gain their confidence, it's like guiding a lost kitten. I don't know if that's true. I don't think millennials care. do millennials care about, like, you know, they'd want to do it their way. I don't know.
This is not Survivor New Zealand. Like, it's not all about respecting your elders, okay?
Yeah.
So
okay.
I don't see that. I think millennials, the younger cast here, they're going to play their own game, make their own moves. If someone is not vibing with them, they could be a very easy target. So I don't know where Kent goes, but I don't have great feelings about him. So, yeah, and that's sad because he's an Adelaide guy, and I can't wait to meet Kent and you know, have a chat.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I hope that he can progress well, but I don't know.
Yeah. Moving on, we've got Luke. He's 30. He's a bit of a jokester. He does mining. He's married. He talks about his wife a lot. He's a reality TV junkie. He watches The Real Housewives. So this is something that I have in common with him. And I don't think I've spoken about my love of The Real Housewives on the podcast. If anyone out there would like to chat Real Housewives, hit me up. I'm all about Real Housewives of New York.
So I was going to say, which cities?
Yeah,
so
New York, Beverly Hills, and Atlanta. That's my jam. That's my jam, guys. Yeah. Hit me up. Let's chat. So do you watch Real Housewives?
Not as much as you may watch it or Adam Ruto must watch it, but a little bit.
Well, maybe Luke and I can convince you to watch it. So he seems to me like a bit of a married Sam Webb, someone who doesn't really take things too seriously. And that makes me question maybe his intentions for why he wants to be out there and playing, especially when he said that he initially applied for the show as a joke. And that would just be so upsetting if I was a fan who applied and never got, you know, far in the application process.
Sorry, Nick. Yeah, that would be really annoying, wouldn't it? Yeah. So, look, I think the thing with Luke, though, is that, look, he does – it's so funny you mentioned about being like a married Sam Webb, because I get that vibe as well where he's kind of like a Sam Webb-esque but maybe a bit edgier. His motivation, like, you know, maybe he didn't play it as a joke to get on, but $500,000 is a lot of money, and that's a huge motivating factor for your family. Yeah. He's got a young family, apparently, so that's a huge reason to go deep and really play well. So, yeah, I think that the motives, once you're out there, they must be pretty strong.
Let's speed through because we're running out of time here. We've got next one is Mark H. He's the older guy. I think he wants to go by the name Tarzan, which is odd. Yep. Is this true that he wants to go by the name Tarzan?
Apparently
so. Who knew we would have our very own Tarzan? I wonder if he's going to take the money from the auction to buy new shocks for his car. But he's a lime farmer. He's got this great big beard. He's been featured heavily in the promos. He's got a pretty cool look for the audience. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, really cool. Yeah, he's been heavily promoted early on, which makes sense because he does have such a distinctive look. I'm interested that you have him as a snake because I think he's a mate. I don't see the snake in him. I know he talks about, I'm going to play a hero, but also a villainous game. I don't know if he has it in him, to be honest. I think he's just a nice country farmer dad that, you know, wants to go out there for the adventure. I think I read somewhere where he talked about, this is, if he hadn't have done this, he would have gone somewhere else and just done some kind of adventure. So I think that, yeah, I think he's a mate and not a snake.
Okay. Well, yeah, he says in the commercials, I'll play by the rules and the rules demand that I be ruthless, conniving and cheeky. I don't know. I feel like the show preps you almost. It's like the commercials prep you for what's coming. And I don't know. I'm interested to see. He says he's be the wolf in sheep's clothing. So I'm interested in him.
Yeah, I'm interested as well. I do think that you look at him on paper as well. Physically, he looks really, really strong, Nick. And that's going to be a really big positive as well because, yeah, he's an older guy, but he works outside every day, obviously, as a lion farmer. His guns are absolutely huge. So, yeah, I think that he could do quite well.
We have someone who I'm not getting a great read on, Michelle, 33. She's a nanny. I get vibes that she's not prepared for island life.
No.
Her nickname is Have a Chat, which is, for my money, one of the worst nicknames I've ever heard in my life. I get like, she looks like Sydney from Token Cheese. I get cat vibes.
The cat major vibes.
Yeah. You know, with the going out there with the hat and the caftan. Not much to be said about her, but, you know, who knows? She could surprise us all.
Yeah, I don't mind Michelle. She's someone who does give me cat vibes, and I liked Kat as a character last season. So if she can be fun and a little different to the other girls out there, you know, she might be the fish out of water where it is something that she really doesn't belong on the island but can, you know, progress and make a mark. I'd be happy to see that. But, yeah, I can see where there's not a strong strategic vibe from her at all.
Yeah, she's kind of just at the moment not popping, but let's give her time. Someone who is interesting is Odette. Another cool name. 32, single mom, podiatrist. She has like had a pretty rough life, an absent father. Her mother died when she was young. She's a single mother. It's what she says about the way she wants to play the game, which concern me, not about she can play the game however she wants, but concerns me about how far she's going to get. She says that I'm in it to play an honest, moral and sincere game. I want people to feel like when I'm winning, they are too. So that when I win, they win. Being a hero to her family is the most important thing. It's just not the game for that. And Arvi, and we don't know what happened in Survivor New Zealand because it hasn't aired yet for us because we're recording this a couple of weeks ago. But Arvi has proved that you can't always do that. You can try really hard, but if you get to the end, it's really hard to get through the whole way playing a moral and honest game. And even if you do, it doesn't get rewarded. And we saw last year. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, she talks about living week to week still on a paycheck and how this would make a huge difference in her life and for her child. So, look, I think the motivation's there, but she gives me the mate vibe where she wants to be the hero of her story. I don't know how prepared she is for Survivor. This is a tough game.
I have her in snakes.
Yeah, but that's okay. She's definitely a mate.
That's a complete mistake. She's definitely a mate. Definitely. Yeah. Sorry, what were you saying?
No, I'm just agreeing. I just feel like she on paper is one of the bottom ones for me in terms of being strategically prepared to play this game. What she's selling is very season one. If she had been cast last season, I think she would do a lot better than she will do this season. Cause
definitely.
I just feel the players around her are going to play like a faster, more high tempo game. And she might not be prepared for that.
Yes. A couple more, someone who is getting a lot, probably the most screen time in the promos. And that's Sarah. Sarah's 22. She's a model and a makeup artist, as far as I can tell. She was on the Australian reality show, The Face.
Which is quite ironic, Nick, because she's been the face of the advertising promo so far. So she's definitely giving me, I don't know if you were here for the whole time when they were doing the promos last season, but Phoebe got very similar edit to her in terms of the preseason coverage. And I don't know if they're setting that up as maybe like as a red herring, but yeah. Like she's getting a very similar edit to how Phoebe was showed last season.
But can lightning strike twice?
I don't know. Phoebe is so amazing, and I don't know if it can strike twice, but if it can, you know, I don't know. Do you think that she has the ability to play that type of game? Like, I've watched a couple of episodes of The Face on YouTube just to catch up and see what she was like, and she was actually really quite good. She was strong in the confessional parts.
Oh, I have no doubt she would do well.
So I definitely think that she's a snake. I agree with you on that. I think that she can make the moves to put herself in the right position. She could be very underestimated as well because she looks like this, you know, pretty young girl, but I think she's smart enough to make moves.
But this is the thing. She wants to be underestimated, but because Lightning when it wants to strike twice, it's really difficult because people saw what happened with Phoebe. I feel like Phoebe has destroyed her game already. Like,
Do you look at her and think, oh, that's Phoebe though? I think it might just depend on how she plays early, and we don't know. It's such an interesting thing where we talked about the shadow of season one players cast a long shadow on some of the people? We talked about Peter. Are we saying the same with Sarah, where does she give off a Phoebe vibe? When I look at her, she's not blonde. She, you know, looks a little differently. She is, you know, stunning as well, but I'm not 100% sure.
I really like the quotes that she has. She goes, I'll never be complacent. I'll play the game, not just sit back. I want to play the most intense social game on the planet. I want to be someone who's remembered. I don't care what people think of me. If they think what I'm doing is mean, I want them to think what I'm doing is clever. I don't care if it's nice or not. I will take it all as a compliment. I'm going to be on the ball the whole time. I'll think about it when I go to sleep. I'll dream about it. I'll never rest or trust anyone because I don't think anyone should trust me. Like, she speaks like when someone who looks like Sarah walks in and says those things, there's just no way she's not getting cast.
Yeah, agree. That's absolutely what you want. She is lightning in a bottle, Nick.
Yeah.
I think it can strike twice. So
I think it will.
I'm happy to see what happens. Yeah.
I think it will. I'm just like, if it does, I'll be really like, surprised that the memory of Phoebe doesn't kind of destroy her. One thing she says, she goes, she feels like her modeling experience will put her in good stead. Living in a house around the world with other models is like a mini Survivor experience. Is that just because like everyone's a bitch and no one eats anything?
I think that's a really fair statement. I think everyone's a bitch and they definitely don't eat anything.
two more people. Tara, 32. She is a barrel racer. And fan if you had told
Nick.
Me that we would have another barrel racer, a fan favorite, Sierra Dawn Tara, on the Australian Survivor Season 2, I wouldn't believe you. She's a mum of three. Yeah. She says, this is the funniest part, that she's vowed that she will not be letting her fellow tribe mates know what she likes to get up to away from home. It's like, I can't let anyone know that I'm a barrel racer.
But
like,
why? Like, it's a barrel racer. Who cares?
I just think this whole hiding the truth thing is getting so out of control.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I can't tell anyone I'm this. I can't tell anyone I'm that. Like, it's really, really hard to keep those lies, and it doesn't often need to be done. And she's studying to be drama teacher. So she's a drama teacher and she wants to hide her occupation. She is literally Evan's soulmate.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I love, I think we just have to claim it right away, Nick. We have to start calling her fan favorite because it's just too easy. I don't know why she would hide being a barrel racer. That sounds like it's something that's really cool, a bit of an interesting story.
Yeah.
And like you've played, I think if I was out there and someone told me they were a barrel racer, I'm like, okay, that's a cool story.
Yeah,
tell me more about it.
Don't
hide that. So
I wonder if she comes off more country in real life. I think that she might be like our regional kind of.
Yeah,
player.
I think so.
We've got one more, Ryan, and then we're going to give our winner picks. And the one person left is Tessa. She is a doctor. She's studying to be a doctor. She wants to win Australian Survivor for her family. She says, I don't think heroes go far in this game. People who say they are playing with honesty and integrity are infuriating. It is a game. It is not real life.
I really like Tessa. I'm super high on Tessa. I loved her quotes. I love that part about honesty and integrity are infuriating. I love that she said, when I'm annoyed, I tend to have a quiet simmer, then go out and get my revenge. So like, this is the stuff that I want to hear. I think that she's super intelligent at being a doctor. She should be able to put herself in a good position. The only thing I didn't like about her bio is where she talks about wanting to be in an all-girls alliance. I think when she gets out there, she should hopefully realize that's not something that's probably going to be able to happen. But yeah, I loved everything about Tessa on paper.
Me too. I've got her quite high in my opinion. So that, I guess, brings us to who we think is the winner pick.
Yeah.
Who is your, and what's your history with winner picks? Because mine's not great.
No, mine's really horrible. I think in terms of like US Survivor, I picked Jeremy Collins twice, and he won the second season, obviously.
Right.
But that might be my only winner pick ever. I'm really horrible. Australian Survivor last year, I picked Lee as the winner, so I got close.
Yeah, I've never picked a winner.
You
never.
Didn't vote for him, Nick, so...
it's my fault.
Well, the whole jury didn't vote for him, so I'm not going to blame you, but it's definitely... It's fun. I love doing this because you don't really know, and usually you're completely wrong. So yeah, this should be fun. So are we gonna say, do we say male and female, or are we just gonna pick one?
Let's do male and female. Let's do male and female. Let's okay. do that.
Yeah.
Would you like to go first, or shall I?
Can I go, do you want me to do both or just the one?
Let's do females. Go.
Okay.
You go first.
My female, I love Tessa. So funny that we're talking about her last, because she just gave me really strong vibes. I liked Annalise as well. I like Sam as well, but I felt like Tessa, just, she talks about playing a game where she can be underestimated but still have the intelligence to progress far. I'm hoping that socially she's quite good. Obviously, she's a doctor, so she should be able to deal with people. So I'm really, really high on Tessa.
Funny you should say that. I was going to pick her, but I also was tossing up between someone else. Considering you chose Tessa, I will go for Sam.
Wow. Yeah, that's funny, because I just said, yeah, definitely I like Sam as well. So what's it about Sam that stands out?
I think that for Australian Survivor, she fits a pretty good mold. I think that she is someone who guys will respect, and also girls will respect. I just remember out there how much Sue was enamored by the fact that JL and Kate were these strong women that would, you know, did these big things. And I think that will go a long way with the girls as well as the guys. I don't think she'll be a slouch at all in any of the challenges. And I don't know. I've just got a feeling that she's going to be there. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I could be wrong. I probably am wrong, but she's up there. You know, I think Tessa or Sam, I actually think Tara will do quite well, and I don't know why. Like, that's just some vibe that I get. I think that she will be someone that we are sleeping on. But, yeah, obviously Sarah is someone else that's kind of like, I feel will go far, but I'm gonna plant my flag on Sam.
Yeah, I really like that. And, again, I was tossing up between her and Tessa, so I think that's really good. The men? Dude.
Shall I go first this time?
Yeah, you go first this time.
I'm probably going to regret this, okay. I'm going to go for Henry.
Wow. So Adelaide boy. How are you going to feel about that? An Adelaide boy being the victor? I think that would be pretty cool.
Oh my God, I'd love that. I'd love that. Yeah. I think that's exactly, that would be so cool to have an Adelaide winner. But I don't know. I just think that he is someone who I reckon he would have like a bit of a magnetic energy that people will be drawn to. I hope he doesn't give off douche vibes. Like, I don't think he will.
No.
I just think that he seems pretty strong. He seems to have his wits about him. I don't know. I think he's someone who could go far.
Yeah.
And because of that, he's probably going to be the first pick.
yeah, I definitely hope not. I really like Henry as well. My male winner's pick, I'm going to use the same formula I used last year, and I'm going to say Mark W. I don't know what it is. I feel like he has a combination of Lee and L. I just think he's a nice guy, and I think that he can put himself in a good position if he can own his game. And he talks about, you know, breaking the rules. If he can own his game and do what Lee couldn't do, he could be the winner very easily to me. So
I wonder if people will look and say, hey, Lee went to the end and got no votes. I'll take someone who looks like Lee, and I'll also sit next to them at the end.
It's a really good question. I think that's a dangerous formula to take.
Definitely.
Because Lee could have won the season if he had improved his social game and owned his moves at the end of the game. So I think that would be a very dangerous thing to do. But it could work in his favor where he could make it the end and, yeah, he could be taken to the end. I think that he's probably going to be the taker of the person to the end. So I'm high on Mark if he can maintain those relationships and just own his moves.
Yeah. Look, not a bad choice at all. Ryan, thank you so much for coming and breaking down this cast. I'm so excited. You've got me even more excited. Where can people find you on social media and follow all the great stuff that you're doing?
Yeah, just find me on Twitter at Ryan V. Brink, and all the links, all the other stuff that I do are there. So on Twitter, Ryan V. Brink, and yeah, hit me up.
Yeah, and you can find me at Nick Idanza on Twitter, and same as Instagram. I'll be putting up a lot of stuff throughout the season on both platforms, and I assume you'll be the same. So yeah. Get involved with the conversation. I always love hearing people's thoughts, and don't be a stranger, strangers. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and I will be back on the mic when I return from my honeymoon just as Survivor Season 2 premieres. So thank you very much, Ryan. Thanks, and have a good one.